The order of the message, the evening is, partway through the message, Joshua is going to have children's class. And we'll have all the children come over here then when set is time for that. And it's actually part of the message, so he will be doing part of it. But why don't we start with a word of prayer and... Carl, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening, Lord. Thank you for this man as he speaks out the message, Lord. That you just work through him, Lord, speak to us through him, and that we can all grow and learn. Give him a word to speak. And in fact, this is the word.
Thank you. This is actually a continue from the last message that I had shared, and I didn't know if I could find enough to finish it off or how, but I think it'll be okay. If you remember, we had looked at the part indwelling of the Spirit, how God gives part of His Spirit once we become believers, and how God wants to work in our lives. He wants to continue to help us grow. And that indwelling of the Spirit is part of God giving His life in us. And then from there on, the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit. And now this part here I have titled, Living a Spirit-Filled Life. How do we, once we receive that Spirit that God gives us, and how we become believers, then Jesus becomes our Lord and Savior. And we had talked about that Lord and Savior, how important that is, about Jesus becoming our Lord. We had looked at Ephesians 1:13 and 14. I won't have you turn to that, but I just want to go through that again and refresh our memory a little bit. In Ephesians 1:13 it says, "In whom ye also having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having also believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." In other words, you were giving a part. Then Ephesians 1:14 it says, which is an earnest. And that word earnest we had looked at is like a down payment. It's part of a guarantee. That same word can be used, translated either way. Of our inheritance into the redemption of God's own possession into the praise of His glory. But the problem is that sometimes, I had you think of this yesterday when we were at Danny's dad's funeral. They sung this song, Prone to Wonder. Our hearts are prone to wonder. And God continuously wants to work in our lives. And in John 15:6, it talks about, we talked about this verse. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they cast them in the fire and they are burned. There's the belief out there that once you're saved, you can never be lost again. And I guess the problem I have with that is, one thing that they say is, if you are lost, you were never saved. But the problem I have with this is, how can you be cut off of something that you never belonged to? We have to remember that. In Jeremiah 17:9. It says that the heart is deceitful above all things and is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? Only God can know it. It is very important that we don't stop growing once we have the indwelling of the Spirit. It's very important that we continue the walk. Um, God does not want us to stay there. He wants us to grow. He has that desire to see His children grow. Now that growing part can be in many areas. It's not just one part here, and it is in all areas of life. The responsibility lies more or less on us. What is my desire? How much do I desire the things of God? And I think that some of the problems that we have maybe is our desires may not be what they should be. How connected do I want to be to the Father? Have you ever thought about that? How connected do I want to be to God? I shared a little bit of a message last message of how my wife and I we came to Christ. And if you remember, we came to Christ because we did not want to go to hell, so we came to Christ. And I don't recommend that. Some people call that fire insurance. But I did share that it is testimony that it does, it can work. But along with that, I had to think of what Harold shared this morning. That was out of fear. You know, we come to God out of fear. And along with that, I had not planned this at all, but along with that, when Harold shared that, I said it goes right along with what I wanted to share tonight, of how there's this teaching that sometimes we fear God. We have to be afraid of Him. That is a very... It's not who God is. There is that judgment part of God, but He does not want us to live in constant fear of Him. Now, we are not saved just so we don't go to hell. That's not really the reason God saved us. God has saved us so that we can tell others about His amazing love and bring honor and glory to Him. In other words, God has saved us so that we bring honor and glory to Him. Now, I want to share a little bit about this, and I couldn't really come up with a good demonstration, but and maybe you'll have to correct me. But now, some time ago, my wife and I, we bought a dog. And this dog was 3 years old when we bought him. And this dog is very fearful. She's a very friendly dog, and but every time something a little bit happens, she'll run into her kennel. Now, I don't know exactly what happened to the dog, why the dog was that way, but apparently somewhere along the line it might have got abused. But that dog lives in constant fear. Now, if we serve God out of fear, in the back of our minds, we will always be wondering, did we do the right thing? Is God angry at me? What if I don't make it to heaven? These are some of the thoughts that are along with the line that we fear God. God doesn't want us to live there. He wants us to serve Him out of love. And I guess the question that I have is, how can we tell about God's love if we constantly live in fear? If we live in fear of who God is, how can we tell others about His amazing love? God wants us to serve Him because we love the things He loves. Our desire is the things that He desires. And if you remember, maybe it was last Sunday, I wasn't quite sure anymore about this, but Mark and Phil and Monica both shared a little bit about Kids Club. Now, when they shared about Kids Club, you could tell that they had a love for the lost ones. You could tell that God's heart, that they had the things that God wanted. God wants to reach out to the ones that are lost. And you could tell that Mark and Phil and Monica, they were involved with these children's lives, and they wanted things that God wanted. They wanted to reach out to these children. And just in town here, just around us, there's so much of that. There is work for everyone. God wants no one to perish. But with that, it requires us to grow. If we want to be useful in God's kingdom, we have to grow. I just wanted to share a little bit of how maybe this looks to God if we do not grow. There's a number of you that are farmers in here, I think. Well, some of you anyway. How would you men feel if you planted your fields this spring and your crops would only grow 2 to 3 inches, maybe 4, maybe 5, and they would stop growing? They would look nice, but they would never grow from there on. How would you feel? Would you think you had some bad seed, or you're not going to get a crop? But why do we expect God sometimes to be okay with it? God expects fruit from our lives. The Bible tells us, now this is where I want to go into the part of being filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. And be not drunk with wine. It's in Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm not 100% sure, but I had to wonder why Paul used that be drunk not with wine. The only thing I could figure out maybe was because that is something that the culture did a lot around that area. Here in Calvary Chapel, we necessarily don't have that problem being filled with wine, but we have other things. What would Paul write to Calvary Chapel? Life of ease, maybe? Be not filled with life of ease. Be not filled with social media. Be not filled with being involved in sports. What would he talk to you about? In order to be filled, we have to be emptied first. But emptied of what? In Luke 18:10, there's this passage about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this: God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithe of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus went on to say, I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Here we have two men. Now, if general society would have looked at these two men, most likely the Pharisee would have been their religious, would have been the one that would, in their eyes, would have been right with God. But God could not use him. The Pharisee, God could not use because of all his eyes. I did this, I do this, I do this. He had a checklist, like Harold talked about this morning. He had a checklist. God does not want us to live by a checklist. He wants to write his laws in our hearts. The tax collector humbled himself and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God looks at the intent of the heart. Now, I believe in this verse, it is speaking about a person that is mourning over their sinful condition. Blessed are they that mourn, and Lynn had shared part of this message here just a couple weeks ago. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, here I see that someone was sorrowful for their condition. It was like the tax collector. He was sorrowful. If we have sin in our life and we ask God, please remove this sin, but deep down we just enjoy it just a little bit, God is probably not going to answer our prayers. Because we are not truly sorry. When was the last time that you ever mourned over a besetting sin in your life? When was the last time that you ever mourned of a besetting sin in your life? Or did you ever? Has that ever crossed your mind? I'm wondering if one of our biggest problems in spiritual life is that we do not see our own wretchedness and our own need for Christ. When we received the indwelling Spirit of Christ, He gave us a brand new start. The slate was made completely clean. All of our past sins were forgiven. Now, there's also this passage where it says past, there's past, present, and future, or that thought. And I truly believe that. But the problem with it is if we take that and then we don't grow and we continue to sin, I don't think that verse is going to apply to us. But He did forgive us our past, present, and future if we truly have repented and live a continued Spirit-filled life. Now, since our slate was made completely clean, at that beginning, we got a brand new start. And most likely, if you remember, you probably had a very good feeling at that time. But after a while, you soon realize that you still have issues to deal with. There's problems that come up. Suddenly, things start reappearing. The old enemy, for one thing, is out there bringing along some reinforcements along, and now the problems and issues before are going to have to face head on and deal with them as God brings them to you. So now God has removed them, but these thoughts and so forth keep reappearing, and they can both be from Satan, or God can bring them to remembrance for us to confess. It can be either one. But if it's from Satan, he's going to use it to beat us as much as he possibly can. And here's where our Joshua comes in at, and he wants to do the demonstration. I want to have all the children come up and sit maybe in those benches somewhere where the ping pong balls are. So all those that want to come up.
All right, good evening. Can you hear me? All right. Well, good evening to all of you. You'll have a good afternoon and a good nap, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that was for old people, but okay. That's all right. So here tonight, I'm going to try to demonstrate this, what Dad was talking about sin and about being filled with the Spirit, okay? So the two go hand in hand. And God will use the Spirit to fill us and also to convict us of sin. Right? So where you guys are sitting, you guys have ping pong balls, and a few might have some golf balls even, okay? So you might think that's cool, but it's actually not a good thing, because each one of those ping pong balls represent a type of sin, okay, in your life. So if you look at them, there's something written on them, and I'm going to need you guys to help out in just a minute, all right? So here we have two people, one named Bob and the other named Sue, okay? So very ordinary people, just like you guys, okay? So what we're going to have you to do, I need the people with the golf balls, okay, to come up here first, and you're going to drop them in here, all right? So who's got a golf ball? Oh, you want to come up here? Put them in Bob's jar right here. Okay. This one here is a ping pong ball, okay? So you get to take that back. We'll use it just a bit later, okay? Or you have a golf ball as well, right? Drop that in there. Should have one more somewhere. Someone else have one? You find it? Alright, bring it up here once.
I have two in my place.
You have two? Alright, that's fine. We'll use the golf ball for now, alright? So let's see what's in here, alright? So in Bob's life here, we've got, it says arrogant, okay? So he's a pretty proud little kid, and he likes to look down on other people, okay? He's also got pride in his life, okay? So he's a little bit, you know, prideful, and a little bit stubborn. And this says he also complains a lot, okay? So whatever, no matter what happens throughout the day, he's always complaining, and you might know some people like that, all right? So the rest, we're going to fill these jars the rest of the way with ping pong balls, and they should be completely full by the time we're done, all right? So I guess we'll start with the front row. I guess you don't have to stand. Just hand it to me, and I'll read up what's on it. All right? Thank you. All right, we'll get to the next row in just a minute, okay? So here in Sue's life, we got some hatred, okay? Maybe there's a friend she doesn't really like. You know, that could be possible. Disrespectful? We'll put that in Bob's jar, okay? Because, you know, sometimes he might not listen to his dad. Sometimes he might, you know, just not respect his parents like he should. Oh, this one's important. It says pretending a truth, okay? So Sue might go around life pretending like she's someone she's not. That can be a very bad thing as well. Here, can we make room for you? I think you can sit right there. Be fine. All right. Okay, then also anger, okay? So we're going to put this in Sue's jar as well, because that's something she could deal with. All right, the next row. Can you come up here and hand them to me, all right? Thank you. Thank you. All right, thank you. Okay, this one's bullying. We're going to put this in Bob's jar, okay? So maybe there's a kid at school where he just picks on, and he doesn't care. He'll just be mean to kids just for fun, okay? And that's not a very good thing, all right? So cheating. We're going to put this in Sue's jar here. Maybe Sue takes some homework from her friend and turns it into the teacher and says, you know, this is my homework, okay? Is that fair? No, it's not really her homework, is it? No, but I've seen that happen before, and it's not good. All right, lying. This could go along with cheating. She could lie to her teacher as well. This one says selfishness. I'm going to put this back in here. You know, maybe she doesn't share like she should. And lying. This is another one. Same thing. Bob can struggle with the same thing. I'm going to put that in his jar. All right, the back row. You guys still have some left, right? Take this one. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, so here we've got deceitfulness, all right? I got one more. All right, got it. Thank you. And lazy. How many of you know someone who's lazy? Yeah? It's not you guys, is it? No? All right. Stealing. You know, that could happen too. Bob could steal something that's not his. Deceitful, like we said before. Finding fault with people. Just thinking bad of people. Gossiping. Put that in Sue's jar. You know, saying, going around and spreading things that aren't necessarily true about people. Telling, you know, stuff about her friends. You know, whispering to people. Saying stuff that's not true. Or even if it's true, it could be hurtful as well. Disobedient, that could be something she could deal with. And also bitterness in Bob's life, all right? So here we got two people who are, like, just completely full of sin, okay? This is before God has come into their lives. And they're dealing with all sorts of issues, okay? So here we've got, in these two jars, it represents God, okay? So this is God or the Holy Spirit coming into your life, all right? So we're going to see what happens when God comes into this life. So we're going to do this jar first, all right? So for you smart ones out there, do ping pong balls float?
Yes.
Yeah, they do, okay? So what do you think should happen when the Spirit comes into this life? They should come to the top, right? Yeah, yeah. All right, so we have to do this carefully. It might take a little bit, but we'll try to get all these out here. So once they come to the top, we'll consider them to be gone, all right? Okay. Here comes one. Might have to help these a little bit. Sometimes they get stuck. Here's another one. Uh oh. Have to help these out a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think you guys get the idea. All right. So these two come to the top. We're just going to pick these off, okay, because they're really close to the top. All right. Would you guys say that Sue's life here is filled with the Spirit? Do you think we can get any more water in there? So if we pour a little bit more water in there, it's probably going to overflow. Yeah. So she's just completely full of the Holy Spirit, all right? So that's good. That's what we want to happen, right? God came and took all the sin out of her life and replaced it with something good. So what do you think is going to happen with Bob here?
Same thing.
Same thing? Alright, let's see. Yeah, I think you know the answer, alright? So let's see what happens, alright? Let's put some of the Spirit in here. Maybe a little bit of love. Maybe a little bit of kindness to take away that, you know, pride and selfishness. Okay, so these that come to the top, we're going to consider them to be gone, all right? We're going to take them off as well. So there goes lying. He's no longer disrespectful. That's good. But something's wrong here, because God still has some love, some of the Holy Spirit that he wants to add to Bob's life, and he can't. Why not? Yeah, so these golf balls here represent sin that Bob hasn't given up yet. There's still things in his life that he's not willing to let go of, all right? So what God has to do, God has to come in here into Bob's life and take these things out of his heart before he can fill him with the Spirit again, all right? So we're going to take this out here. Oh, so there's the complaining. Yeah. Remember, Bob had an issue with complaining? Yeah, it's not cool. So we're going to take that out. We're going to fill this back up with a little bit of love, all right? But he's still not quite full yet. So we have to take this out as well. Oh, there comes his pride. Remember that? His pride and his selfishness? Yeah. So that's gone now. Add a little bit more kindness. It's getting better, right? But he's still not quite full yet, is he? Okay, so the last thing in Bob's life here is his arrogance, remember? He walked around pretending like he really was someone, and he was just like looking down on all the other kids. So that's not cool. Alright, so now all this sin is out of his life, and Bob and God can fill him back up with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So finally, Bob's at the point in his life where he can begin to overflow, and he can share that love with other people, just like Sue over here, right? So there's this verse in the Bible that explains this. Basically, when the Spirit of God comes into your life and fills you so that you overflow, there's things that you can give back to people. In Galatians 5, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." So I'm sure you guys have all memorized that verse before. What's really important to remember here is that if God will fill your life with the Spirit, those are things that you can give to other people, all right? He can cleanse you from your sin. All right, so guys, I hope you guys learned something from that. I hope you enjoyed it. And you can go back to your parents now. Thank you.
Thank you, Joshua. That is one area that God wants to work in our lives. And it's probably one of the first ones that He's going to work in our lives about. Now, if misguided Muslim men are giving their lives for a lie, how much more should we be willing to serve a Savior that has promised us that we could have eternal life and that we could be sons and daughters in His kingdom forever, and He is not even asking us to die here in America? How much more should we be willing to serve a Savior that wants to reach out to us? Let's look at another area that might not be so easily identified. Now, this one here, I think each one of us struggle with this in some way, form, or another. But I hope I can do this right, and I hope you get the meaning behind it. You have all probably come across the term black and white. And black represents sin, and white represents God. And that is an area that we always look at. Black, I don't want to go there, but white, that's for God. But we have this column, we say black and white, and then it's a gray area. We talk about the gray area in our lives. And if it's gray area, we say, well, that's neither right or wrong. It's gray. So, if it's gray and it's neither right or wrong, we can't really put it over to the white column, we can't really put it over to the black column because it's just neutral. Well, is it neutral? Let's just put two columns. Righteousness for God and carnal. Carnality. Where would you put that gray area now? Most likely, it would all fit over here in the carnality area. If things are carnal, they're obviously not for God. Now, I wasn't quite sure how to put this. Because we all have these areas that God wants to work in our lives in such a way that He wants to fill us completely. I wasn't quite sure. Each one of us has our things that we do. I'm going to pick on Carl tonight. Hopefully you don't mind, but Carl likes to go to the tractor pulls. I think so anyway. Now that can be either carnality or it can be either one. It can be either one of those. Carl likes to take his boys there because he enjoys spending time with them, and they have a fun evening. And they build relationships. That would be over in this column of righteousness. Or Carl could say, I don't want to take my boys because I get so excited and I get so into this thing that this is my life. Now where would it be? It would be over in the carnal area. It's an area that he hasn't given up yet. So we have these areas in our lives that God wants to work in. And I think as we grow in Christ, this carnal area gets less and less and less. Or it should. I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to tractor pulls, nothing like that. I'm just using that as an example. There's things in our lives that we are hooked on, and they don't bring honor and glory to God. Remember the theme that we have this year is making God's name great? Well, there's things in our lives that do not make God's name great. There's a verse in the Bible that says even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, how can that be? Don, if you have a neighbor that's not a believer and you're both plowing with the same tractor and the same plow and everything, but God says that even the plowing of the wicked is sin. How's come? Well, I think the reason behind it is he's doing it for himself and it's all his. Don might be plowing over another field and he is wondering who he can bless with the fruits of it. You know, there's a difference. It's selfishness that the unbeliever is doing for. The Bible says, quench not the spirit. If we have these things in our lives, we are actually quenching the spirit. There's a story, and I don't know if maybe some of you have read it or heard about it, but it was the first time I had come across it. I had actually listened to it in a message, and this is where I got it from. Two sons that were very lazy, a father had two sons that were very lazy. And so one day, their father said, tomorrow, we're going to see which one of you is the laziest. And whoever is the laziest will get $20. So the next day comes around, about 9 o'clock, they roll out of bed, eat their breakfast, and go lay down under the shade tree. As the day went by, the shade moved, and the one son rolled over to keep in the shade, while the other one stayed and blistered in the sun. His father said, truly, you are the laziest one here. Here is your $20. His son said, Dad, would you roll me over and put it in my pocket? We laugh at that. And it is just a ridiculous story. You know, how could anybody be so lazy? But it does bring out a point. So many times we want to have God fill us with His Spirit without us doing anything. It takes work. It takes work to grow spiritually. God's Word tells us to strive to enter the gate. We cannot be on the sea of time headed for the shores of glory in an empty boat. We cannot be empty Christians and going through life as empty believers. We have to be filled. In Proverbs 2:1-5. I'm going to read that part. Proverbs 2:1-5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In other words, it's talking about it's going to take work. It's going to take work to find that knowledge. Romans 1:4, it says, who was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we receive the grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith among all nations for his name's sake. There is that obedience part of it. The characteristics of the principle of the Holy Spirit is to empower believers for a holy living. I just want to read that again. The characteristics of the Holy Spirit is to empower believers for a holy living. The character principle of the indwelling sin is to drag a person down to death. It is like the law of gravity. When you throw a ball in the air, it comes back down because it is heavier than the area it displaces. In other words, you throw a ball up in the air, it'll come back down because it's heavier than the air. Now, a living bird is also heavier than the air it displaces, but when you toss it up in the air, it flies away. The law of life in the bird overcomes the law of gravity. In other words, you throw a bird up in the air, and if it's a healthy bird, it'll fly away. It overcomes the law of gravity. So the Holy Spirit supplies the risen life of the Lord Jesus, making the life of the believer free from law, from the law of sin and death. How do I get a passion for Jesus? The question fits right in with God's greatest commandment found in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. To love your God with all our being. It goes without saying that we cannot love someone we do not know. How do you love God if you do not know His ways? Is it possible? That is, I believe, why God wants us to look into His Word, to study His Word, to find out His ways. Like Harold shared this morning, who God is, who is God. We have to find out His ways. Get to know God and what He has done for you. Before the commandment to love God is given in Deuteronomy 6:5, the Lord's statement is, the statement is made, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." One aspect of this statement is that He is unique and is better, and the better we get to know Him, what He is like, the easier it will be for us to love Him with our whole being. This also involves getting to know what He has done for us. Again, before the first commandment is given in Exodus 20, verse 3, God states what He had done for Israel in bringing them out of the slavery in Egypt. Likewise, in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, the command is to offer our lives as a living sacrifice. It's prefected with the word therefore, a word meant to remind us of all the mercies God toward us recorded in the previous chapters. To grow in love with God, one needs to get to know Him. He has revealed Himself in nature, that's in Romans 1, but so much more through His Word. We need to make daily Bible studies a habit, as much as part of our lives as eating every day. I believe that's one part that I struggle with, is how much do I desire to know God's Word? How much does God want me? God wants me to be involved in His Word and to know it. You cannot imagine a man and a woman growing in love without communicating. You think that would be possible? So prayer cannot be neglected without expecting one's love for God to grow cold. Prayer is part of an armor against our greatest enemies. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, with all prayer and supplication, prayer, praying at all seasons in the Spirit and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We may have a desire to love God, but we fail in our walk without prayer. In other words, we have a desire to walk with God, but if prayer is not part of that, we probably fail in that. Matthew 26:41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter learned this the hard way by following God at a distance rather than identifying himself more closely with Christ before his temptation to deny him. And that's in Luke 22:54. It says, and they seized him and led him away and brought him into a high priest's house, but Peter followed afar off. Where do you follow God? Afar off? Where do I follow God? In Matthew 6:21, it says, for they, where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. So I just, I want to challenge you. I know that we all have areas to grow in our lives. But I also want to thank you for all the things that you do. I want to take this opportunity to thank each one of you, because I know that you care about other people and you reach out to them. And I bless you for that. I want to have you continue to do that. There's many times where I come across people. I go visit somebody and somebody else might have been there and might have bought some food over, or maybe have had given somebody a back rub or foot treatment or something, or just all kinds of things, and I appreciate that. I really bless you for that. We need those things. But we also want to keep looking at God's Word and see where He's speaking to our hearts. I think that's all I have for now, and then I wanted to have Lauren lead us in page 35 in the Christian hymnal. That is that song of Come Thou Fount. And once that song is done, you'll be dismissed. So thanks for your time.